Echio. Uyo tuma kume nyame. You aparase. Uyo tuma kume nyame.
Your amen is suffering.
Amen.
And it will be maybe a bitter pill for some of you to swallow, as it was for me to swallow. But it will bring transformation nonetheless. And I believe that by the time we are done, the Lord will impact you like never before. I want you to get your mind ready and your heart ready. Because it is, for me, one of the most personal messages I have preached this year. Hallelujah. So the genesis of it was that I was penning a tribute to our general overseer. I was writing, and then the first tribute that I wrote was full of anger, and bitterness and unforgiveness for people that I thought, or in my view, had hurt him, had not done right by him, had accused him falsely. I wrote a scathing, because I felt it was an opportunity, you know, when I'm reading the tribute, to attack them, because I know that some of them will be there. What do you think? I know that it's powerful. I know some of them will be there. So it was an opportunity in my mind to go at them and make them feel uncomfortable with a scathing, unrelenting attack on them. After writing, I heard God say, forgive them. Hallelujah. I had to tear the nicely written, filled with English and proverbs and cast centuries. You know what I'm talking about? If there's somebody by you who doesn't understand chi, whisper into their ears the meaning of what I just said. Had to, you know, do away with it and write another one from the perspective and the domain of love and forgiveness. And so, birthed our sermon for today, forgiveness. Hallelujah. Can we go there? Matthew 18, 21 to 35. We'll be dealing with unforgiveness, because they are co-joined. Forgiveness and unforgiveness are co-joined. Matthew 18, 21.
Matthew 18,
yes, sir.
21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me,
yeah,
and I forgive him? Till seven times?
This is Peter asking a question. Yeah.
Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Yes.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which will take account of his servants.
Yeah.
And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as
owed him how much?
10,000.
Owed him how much?
10,000
talents. Yes, sir.
But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord had commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Now, So understand this. The man was to be sold to repay the 10,000 talents. Now, if they sell him, his value will not be able to repay the 10,000 talents. So the man said, add his wife. Still not enough. Add all the children. Still not enough. Now add everything that he owns in addition. That must mean that the 10,000 talent was a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
That you need so many human beings plus properties to be able to scratch its surface. Go ahead.
The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him,
yeah,
saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
Mm.
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion,
yeah,
and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants,
mm,
which owed him 100 pence.
100 pence. Not even one talent.
And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done.
Mm.
Then his Lord, after that he had caught him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt, because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant?
Yeah.
Even as I had pity on thee.
On thee.
And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Amen.
Amen. We have all heard the parable that Jesus tells here. The Bible says Peter goes to him and says, Master, how many times should we forgive somebody? Is it 7 times? Now you see, Peter was asking a question, and the context is this, that the teachers of the law at that time taught them to forgive 3 times. So if somebody sinned against you, forgive them once, you forgive them again, and you forgive them the third time, and if they do it again, you ignore them. Because that's what the theology that the teachers of the law were teaching the people at the time. And so Peter going to Jesus to even ask him, should we forgive 7 times? He was going far above and beyond what the standard was in his days. You know, he more than doubled what the standard was, just to see what Jesus was going to say. And Jesus said, you need to forgive your servant 70 times 7. The emphasis not on the exactitude of that number, for the benefit of those who are mass phobic, 70 times 7 is 400 and... Hey, every girl. 490. Hallelujah. The emphasis is not on the absolute number of 490, but the emphasis is having that heart that forgives people. He goes on to tell them a parable of a man that owed, you know, their master 10,000 talents that their body alone couldn't pay. They had to sell everything. And he says that after that he got hold of the servant knelt down and begged him, and the master took pity on him, had pity on him, and forgave him everything. He goes on his way, meets somebody who owes him 100 pence, and Bible says he holds him by the throat, holds him by the neck. He wants to kill him. He wants to, you know, extinguish the life out of him. And he says, you will pay me. And he drags him down. So other servants come to see what's going on. And they remember that, are you not the same person who owed even more and was forgiven? And it looks as if this person is a hypocrite. Because just the other day, you were forgiven 10,000 talents, and somebody owes you something small, and you are treating the person worse. That is the exact position many of us find ourselves in. That Jesus Christ looked at us and died on the cross for every sin we have committed, we are committing, and we are about to commit. Can I go there? Everything we have done, are doing, and will ever do, the precious blood of the Lamb has the ability to forgive all those sins. And yet somebody will step on our toes and we say, we won't forgive you. Now, as I go along, I will deal with, three lies that makes forgiving people difficult for us. Three lies we tell ourselves that makes forgiving people difficult. But you see, forgiveness is not a natural human instinct. It is within us to not forgive people, to hold grudges, to bear grudges. It is in the natural makeup of man not to forgive people. Are you with me now? How many of you have seen a baby before? Okay, there's a baby there. Do you know that if you do something to a baby and you cause the baby maybe pain, or you make the baby cry, or you make the baby afraid, the next time the baby sees you, he remembers and he wants to come to you no matter what you do, because even the baby knows within its system not to forgive you, to bear grudges against you, to remember exactly what you did. Some of you are still struggling to carry your sister's babies and your brother's babies because of something you did to them maybe 3 months ago. Every time they see you, the baby remembers. It is a natural thing that comes with man, human beings, that doesn't allow us to forgive. In other words, to enter into the realm of forgiveness, you need to go beyond the natural man and become something supernatural. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Another thing that makes it difficult to forgive is pride. Because we feel that our ego has been bruised. Do they know who I am? I will show them. They have touched me. They don't know I am a Thursday born. I have to show them something. Pride and ego will not allow you to forgive. That is why you would have a husband and a wife. They've been fighting since 1970. Because both of them have pride and ego that won't allow them to survive in their marriage. Both of them can never be wrong. Have you seen those people before? You can be anointed and still be bitter. Hallelujah. I know today many of you won't like what I'm saying. But like I told you, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. Can I go there? You see, forgiveness is not easy. Because for you to be pained and hurt, it's a painful thing. For somebody to step on your toes, somebody to cause you pain, and you have to override the feeling of pain to forgive. Hallelujah. Many of us have made the sin of forgiveness a family affair. We have made it a family affair. I won't forgive you. My sister won't forgive you. My brother won't forgive you. My mother won't forgive you. All of us, we are against you. So this side of the family and that side of the family, we are at loggerheads. Family affair. You didn't like that one because you just remembered your own family. Can I go there? The thing is this, enemies can't cause you pain. You don't expect much from an enemy. In fact, if an enemy starts treating you well, you'll be afraid. If your enemy invites you to lunch, you'll think he wants to poison you. And that is why you expect so much more from a friend. And it hurts more when the pain is caused by a friend or a loved one. If it's an enemy, well, you already know and expect that they should be doing things like this. It is only when the person is close, is dear, that it becomes painful. But the thing is this, in as much as you are or we are not forgiving others, we are killing ourselves and sowing the seeds or the poisonous seeds of bitterness in our own heart. That as we rise, it rises with us. As we grow, it grows with us. As we go, it goes with us. As we return, it returns with us. It can never, see, unforgiveness and bitterness will never allow you to fully enjoy life to the fullest. It will never give you that opportunity to really be your optimum self in God. Because there will always be that part of you that is filled with anger and bitterness. There are people who are so bitter about their children's husbands that whenever they see their children, the anger and bitterness of the husbands are transferred to their children. Look at your head, like your useless father's head. And the bitterness will not allow us to even see the brightness of the future of the destiny of the child. Filled with so much rage, you will be as useless as your useless father. But if he's as useless as the useless father, and you are the mother, I wonder where that puts you. Proverbs 24, 28 and 29. Then we will deal with the three lies that prevent us from forgiving. Proverbs 24, 28, 29.
Proverbs 24, 28. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause.
Yes.
And deceive not with thy lips.
Yep.
Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me.
I will do so to him as he has done to me.
I will render to the man according to his work.
I will render to the man according to his
work.
Works. Say not that this thing that he has done to me, I will do him some. How many of us have been there before? Like this thing he has done, that day is coming. I'm waiting for him. I'm going to pay him back. But I read somewhere, scripture says, vengeance is the Lord. If you take vengeance into your hands, you are usurping the place and authority of God in your life. Stand aside, forgive them, and allow God to deal with them. Hallelujah. See, some of the things people will do to you will be painful. If I tell you no lie, it will be painful. It will be gut-wrenching. It will be difficult to stomach. Some of them, look, some of you, if you go and people are talking and see they are insulting somebody, they are talking. If you are not careful, you will join them before you realize it is you they are talking about. But the way they would describe you and talk about you, imagine being like Jesus or being Jesus who has been sent to the world, and you see, these are people you created. I mean, John 1 says, all things were made by me and by him, and nothing was made without him. So everything exists at his pleasure, by his power, by his grace. So we say, in the name of the, by the grace, how do you share the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace flows from him. It is by him. We exist by his grace. And he's walking among the people who exist by his grace. And the people are spitting on him and they are lashing him. And they put him on a cross and they have nailed him. You are nailing me. And you are living by grace. Even the hammer you are lifting, it is by my grace. Some of us will decide to reduce the grace a little. If it were me, you lift up the hammer and I reduce the grace, then the hammer aka was wrong, ember for me. Hallelujah. It will be painful. Some of them are painful. Imagine somebody you have stood by, somebody you have supported, and then they turn around and stab you in the back. Somebody that you will do everything for, you can sacrifice everything for them. Somebody said, I sold my car, I took this girl to school and everything, and the moment she finished and she got her degree, she said I was not her class. And he filled with bitterness and pain. It is painful. If I tell you it is not, I'll be lying to you. Sometimes the things you hear somebody has going to say about you. I'm reminding some of you of your own stories. It is intentional. I want you to bring the anger and pain to the fore so you can forgive them. The automatic response is to do to them what they have done to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a leg for a leg, a bone for a bone, a punch for a punch. But in this kingdom, we rise above that dimension of living. That is animal kingdom living. In the kingdom of God, we rise above it. Hallelujah. The three lies people tell themselves. Number one, people tell themselves that, they say, if you are still in emotional pain from the person who wronged you, I'm still in emotional pain, so I need to heal before I can forgive you. It's a lie. Forgiveness is not the absence of pain. It is the presence of mercy. Forgiveness is not the absence of pain. It's the presence of mercy. Say, I'm in pain. This pain, I need to deal with my pain before I can forgive. Look, do you know when Jesus says something? Says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know when Jesus said that? When he was on the cross, when the nails were still in his hands, when he had just been stabbed on the side, and so he was still in the pain from the nails and the pain from the sword. He was still feeling the pain of feeling like blood is drenching from you and life is being extinguished from your very, you know, being. You are dying, and he is on the cross, and he still looks at them and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because he knows that forgiveness is not the absence of pain. Pain doesn't have to leave before you forgive. Pain doesn't always have to leave your heart and leave your soul and leave your body before you forgive. Pain can be there, but you override it by the introduction of mercy to say, in spite of my pain, I forgive you. In spite of my pain. Hey, the nails are hurting, but forgive them. The sword, I can feel it, but forgive them. The water and blood are coming out, but forgive them. I feel like I am hanging and gravity is pulling me down, but the nail is keeping me up. And there's a discombobulation of life, but forgive them. Forgive them. Look at your neighbor, say, forgive them. He gave birth to you, and he says, I won't take care of you. And you are about 30 years now, and the pain is still there, and the anger is still there. He's you only recognize him as a contributor of sperm to your makeup, but not as your father. Forgive them. I'm dialing numbers. I'm dialing people's numbers. I can't forgive you till I've worked on myself. Nobody here is a finished article. Nobody. So we are described as the workmanship of God because we are work in progress. So if you are waiting for the day you work on yourself to forgive, you may be working on yourself and the trumpet will blow. And that bitterness will still be there. Never forget this. Forgiveness is not the absence of pain. I know it hurts, but forgive them. Hallelujah. Number two lies that if you forgive them, you have to trust them again. It's a lie. Forgiving you and trusting you are not the same. Yeah. Trust is a privilege and or granted to somebody. It's a privilege. So I can forgive you doesn't mean I trust you. It doesn't even mean we have to be friends. But I forgive you. It doesn't mean we should be going to dinner like we used to. We should be running around and doing business again like we used to. It just means I forgive you. Are you with me? If I say forgive them, I'm not saying tomorrow morning go out for lunch with them again. Because trust is another thing. You are just forgiving them. Doesn't mean I trust you. Doesn't mean we have to be friends. It doesn't mean we have to be close again. It just means I forgive you. Number three. If you forgive them, you won't receive justice for your pain. You won't receive justice for you are in pain. Like you want to show them some justice. Like there must be justice. So if you forgive them, like where is the justice? The justice you have received when Jesus died on the cross so many years ago. It is finished. There's prepaid justice you are even owing. You are owing justice. So justice is served. Forgive them. Hallelujah. You know the name you are thinking about right now? Forgive him. Forgive her. It's in your mind. Forgive them. You know that auntie that caused you pain? Forgive them. That uncle that caused you pain? Forgive them. That man, that woman. Forgive them. Look at your neighbor, say, forgive them. Look at what scripture talks about when it comes to your enemies. Oh. Enemies. Matthew 5, 39 to 46. Matthew 5. And then Pastor Joe, open Romans 12, 20 and 21.
Matthew 5,
yes.
39. But I say unto you,
yeah,
that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, and let him have thy cloak also.
Mm.
And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you.
It's a serious
matter. You.
Mm. Bless them that do what?
Curse you.
What verse is that? Verse what?
44.
Read it again.
Matthew 5, 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies.
Mm. Is that do what to your enemies?
Love your enemies.
I want you to sink in for a second. Because the automatic response is to hate your enemy. See, but Jesus saying love your enemies doesn't mean go and make the enemy your friend. That's what I need you to understand. That's how you can forgive somebody and the person doesn't have to be your friend. I love love your enemies. The enemy is there. I love you from a distance. I wish you everything you wish for yourself. You are fine, I am fine, I am working. We don't have to be closely knit together. See, because sometimes the intriguing thing about life is that the people you call enemy, give them the right amount of time and they can become your greatest allies in life. Once upon a time, there was a man called Paul who went about killing the Christians. Bible said he took upon himself to go for letters and permission to start attacking them and start killing them. At that point, what would you call him?
Enemy.
Clearly an enemy, yeah, of Christianity. Father, kill him. Thunder, fire him. If thunder had fired him and God had killed him, we would not have had majority of the books in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Because the same person that once upon the time you would consider an enemy, under the right atmosphere, by the right encounter, and with time, has now become the greatest advocate for the same thing he was fighting against. I was telling somebody something. I said, there are three things that bring out the real character in people. Three things. We're having a conversation. She said, sometimes, you know, you would date somebody and the person would change. And I said, it's not always true. In fact, most of the time, people haven't changed. Their real them has been exposed by three things. Number one, listen carefully. The first thing that reveals the true character of people is time. Give them time. The intentions of men are revealed with time. Hallelujah. Have you seen a butterfly before? How many of you have seen a butterfly before? Not a fly that has fallen in butter, but a butterfly. Have you seen from what it comes out of? What do you call that thing? Caterpillar. Hey, science students. Caterpillar. Have you seen how it is? It looks like a worm. Looks like a crawling, ugly, something you wouldn't want to have anything to do with. Something you want to squish and destroy. But give it time. And suddenly, what is actually contained in it emerges as a beautiful butterfly. So the first thing that brings out the real character in people is time. Number two, money. Money. Give people the right amount of money and it will trigger a response of who they are. Many people are just humble and are good because they don't have enough money to fund their pleasures. The day money enters their life enough to fund the pleasures that are encrypted on their inside, you'll be shocked who they will become. So when I was marrying you, you were not like, I would be always like this. I just didn't have the money to exhibit it. Number three, you know, there are people within them, they've always wanted to marry four women. They've just not had their means of funding their useless pleasures. Let them come into some wild money, you'll be shocked, day after day, night after night. Number three, power. Power. Give people power, and you'll be surprised what it will bring out of them. Make a man a husband, the head of a home, and he'll be worse than a tyrant. Because always on his inside, he has wanted an opportunity to dominate. Unfortunately for him, the pastor preached the sermon and said he's the head of the home. He thinks head is synonymous with slave master. He didn't understand that one. So three things. And that is why scripture says, for love your enemies. Because give some people the right amount of time, the right situation, right circumstance, and you'll be surprised. Somebody shared a story the other day. Said when he was in secondary school, somebody hit him, used to, you know, pick on him for no reason, just punish him and cause him pain and didn't make him enjoy his boarding life till that person left, that senior left. Many years down the line, the same senior came for an interview. And the interview he came for, this guy was fortunate to be part of the panel that was interviewing the senior. Immediately, the guy came and recognized him. He became confused. He didn't know what to say. He became jittery because he remembered. He remembered everything he had done to him. This junior begged for them to hold on with the interview and asked to be excused with this guy. And he told him, you know, I know you are jittery. I know you are under pressure. Relax. I know you can answer the questions. Just take your time and answer them. He called everybody back after the interview. He recommended that they should give him the job. He stood and said he must be given the job. and convinced everybody on the panel to give him the job. When the guy got the appointment letter, he was shocked. You see what time has done. If he had met him outside, he would still think that he's an enemy. This boy, what I've done to you, if he gets me, he'll kill me. Or he'll do something to me. But given the right atmosphere, right, the person that he, for what he has done to him, will think that he had made an enemy out of. It was through that same person that he got a job and landed a job. And that is why you are supposed to let love reign supreme. You see, it is in a world where wickedness and ingratitude is common, it is easy to become like your world, but be the shining light in your world. Hallelujah. It is easy to become, you know, sucked in and become ungrateful. I have seen many ungrateful people in my time. I have seen many ungrateful people. Many people who don't remember. Many people who as if you haven't done anything for them before, as if you haven't been there for them before, nothing, they don't remember. And many entitled people feel like, you know, whatever you did for me, I was entitled to it anyway. So it has birthed a generation of ungrateful people, ingrates. It is easy to become like them, but refuse to become like those people. Be the shining light in your world. Hallelujah. Romans 12:20-21. Yes.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him.
If your enemy is hungry, what do you do?
Feed him.
Jesus is Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Right.
If he thirst, give him drink.
If he's, don't poison him. Give him drink. Go ahead.
For in so doing,
what are you doing?
Thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
You are heaping coals of fire on his head. Hallelujah. Where are the coals of fire? That's the dimension of perspective I want you to think of. It says, by doing so, by giving, you know, quenching their thirst and dealing with their hunger, by so doing, you are heaping coals of fire on their head. In other words, the coals of fire already exist. They are with you. And your anger and pain and bitterness will cause them to remain with you. But in dispensing goodness and love, you relieve yourself of the pain of bearing these coals of fire and you keep it on their head. This is a relief. It is anesthetic. It brings relief to your soul. Hallelujah. It brings relief to your soul. Let me give you a model for forgiveness from two places in scripture, and then we are done. Ephesians 4:32. And Pastor Joe, read Colossians 3:13. Yes.
And be ye kind one to another.
Yep.
Tender hearted.
Yes.
Forgiving one another.
Yes.
Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgiving one another. In other words, the only reason God had to forgive us was Jesus. So he forgave us for Christ's sake, and we are expected to forgive others because of the dimension of forgiveness we have received from God. Listen, this morning, who is in your life that you need to forgive? There is somebody in your life somewhere that you need to forgive. This message is for somebody this morning. Colossians 3:13.
Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
That's the model. Even as Christ has forgiven, so forgive you too. It's interesting that forgiving ends with an ing. And words that end with ing are continuous, living, breathing, going. It is continuous. They are executed continuously on a continuous basis. Likewise, forgiving. Because you won't stop forgiving. Tomorrow, we will forgive. Yesterday, we forgave. In 10 days' time, you will have to forgive again. Look, there are research papers that have come out that suggest that being unforgiving and being bitter has a way of impacting the health of your heart. It's true. Especially if assuming the person you have refused to forgive is somebody who is close to you. Every day you will see the person. And there's a response that seeing the person triggers in your body. Yeah? But imagine you are forgiving them and you are living your best life. You are living free, no guilt, no bitterness, no issues, no burden. You can live your life, go and come, sleep. The reason why some of you can't sleep well is because you have decided to be bitter. You can't sleep well. If you sleep and you see this person in your dream right now, the way your heart will start beating. You are looking for an opportunity to meet them and tell them something. You have imagined it in your head. The setting, the mood. You have rehearsed it in front of the camera and mirror over and over again. You are waiting for the setup. And then you meet, I will display. So every time you are meeting them, the opportunity is not there. Hallelujah. Live free. There are times I do it to people and they are surprised. The people who think that they have hurt us, we'll see them and we'll start chatting with them. How are you? Is everything okay? And you see the confusion on their faces. They are wondering what we are up to. Hallelujah. There's this lady who caused Adio so much pain sometimes, and he was driving. He got to where the lady's shop is and parked, rode down and greeted her and started chatting with her. Can you imagine the confusion on her face? What is this man up to? The dimension where you walk in, you forgive people. Jesus being killed, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People have come to, pick you and to go and hang you on the cross. And Peter comes out, James Bond Peter, pulls a sword, cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers. I mean, he was expecting a standing ovation. Like, say Peter, macho Peter, James Bond Peter. You are the best disciple. What did Jesus do? Rebuke him, took the ear and put it back. I can imagine seeing an Enibewu. Imagine how Peter would have thought. What kind of shy, Jesus has shied me. But Jesus was demonstrating something and teaching them something. Forgive them. Do you know that after today, in fact, tomorrow, somebody will hurt you? Forgive them. By Friday, somebody will hurt you. For if you don't learn it, you will die young. Because see, as long as you are living, you are not living in a vacuum. You are living with human beings. See, somebody is seated by you in church. The way they will even sit sometimes will make you offended. If you are not careful. When you want to pass, the way some people do themselves, when you want to pass, like they are communicating that you are distressing them, and if you knew you would be passing, why did you sit where you are? You know what I'm talking about. You should have sat at the edge so you don't come here and be coming. And maybe they don't even know that there's something important you need to go and deal with. That's why you are going. And you are offended, and they are offended, and everybody is offended. If you don't learn to forgive, you will die young. Yeah. People come to church, Asher says, oh, you know, sit here. The person says, I don't sit there. I feel like sitting at the back. Asher is offended. They too, they are offended that the Asher has the audacity to tell them where to sit. Asher too says, this person, Obana Ochen, the girl, it's not come, person, bets now. Of his oil wine. Everybody is offended. So now when they see you coming from afar, forgive them. See, in an atmosphere of love, miracles don't struggle to happen. The Bible says, when you read Jesus' account, whenever miracles are about to take place, the Bible says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Bam, then miracles are happening. It wasn't showmanship, like Charlie, and somebody's crippled. Let me show them something. Let me show them I have power. God, people are watching. We need to show them. That's the reason why a lot of people don't see miracles in their ministries. Because they think that it is an opportunity to show everybody they are powerful. You didn't like that one. That's why a lot of people can move in a dimension of the prophetic, because they think that, you see, people have come. Let us show them something. It is not about you. The Bible says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. In other words, he's lost out on where he is, focusing just on the pain of the person going through that issue, feeling what they are feeling, and that drives him into a dimension where he helps the person out of the situation. And so many times after that they have received the miracle, he will tell them, don't tell anybody. Because the purpose of the execution of that miracle was not for fans. Otherwise, he will tell them, you see, narrate everything to them. Tell them how I came, how I was even walking, how I held your hand, how my hand smelled so good when I held your hand, how I pulled you, and how suddenly you started walking. Tell them, don't tell them yet, for my time is not up. He focused and he was moved with compassion. Many ministries will never see a dimension of these miracles because they have the wrong motive. There are ministries that are filled with bitterness. You know, when this gentleman, by God's grace, maybe God speaks to him and he leaves the ministry, hey, everybody will hate him. When we all see him, we will pass here and he will pass here. Are we serious at all? We don't like him anymore. In the same kingdom. Just like God can speak to John the Baptist. There's a new John the Baptist. There's a greater assignment for you. I've taught you before how his father was a priest and he could have easily become a priest in the line of his father. And yet God calls him out and says, you, your line is different. Go and be screaming in the wilderness. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's set apart and he's doing something different. And then the father and the whole priesthood will say, this guy is not part of us anymore. It doesn't matter what you think. Once God has given the person that assignment and he's pursuing it, your anger and bitterness will kill you and he will still be fulfilled in his assignment. Amen. People have it in their mind, if he is not with us, he is against us. Are we serious? Is it not one kingdom? Hallelujah. Is it not one kingdom? Ask somebody, is it not one kingdom? Forgive. Learn to forgive. Yeah. Forgive. Someone says, that's for me. You know, church people, I don't like being friends with church people. Church people are hypocrites. Look at your head. Like ripe mango. Who told you church people are hypocrites? You, what are you? What are you? That's why for me, my best friends are those outside. You have a problem, you don't know. The problem is that people outside can hurt you, forgive them easily. But somehow, you have raised a certain standard. You think church people are angels. So as for them, they can't hurt you. They will hurt you today. They will hurt you tomorrow. They will hurt you the day after. When Jesus was being killed, he was sold out by his own people. We want Barabbas. Kill this one. His own people. He still said, forgive them. Because the church is filled with human beings, not spirits. every one of us was born in a different setting, raised in a different setting, socialized in a different setting, brought up in a different atmosphere. And so sometimes we may not agree, but disagreeing does not make us enemies. Sometimes when you say, we are praying against this enemy, some of you are praying against the person because the person disagreed with you. You have turned them into enemies because they disagree. There are pastors who are against other pastors because of theological disagreements. Are we serious? Tap someone and say, forgive. I want you to close your eyes right now. You want to pray that may God give you the grace to forgive. If you remember the person you need to forgive, just in your mind, just pray for strength and ask God to release them. Ask God to release them. Let the pain they have caused you be released. Ask God for strength to let you forgive them. You know that person that promised you the thing and never came through and put you in a very dangerous predicament? Forgive. Just pray for God to help you to forgive them. That person that promised you this thing and forgive them. Just pray for them and forgive. Let them go from your heart. Forgive them. Forgive them. Mora sila namaha. That auntie, that uncle, forgive them. That pastor, forgive them. That pastor's wife, forgive them. The one that accused you falsely, forgive them. Said the things you haven't done and presented it like you did it, forgive them. Just pray. The way they framed the story to make you look bad in front of everybody, but forgive them. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter @Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.